Go to the book of James, if you would. That's where we're at. And in our study, the book of James. The book of James has been a trying book, hasn't it? I mean, it just, you get through it, and boy, pops something else. So, amen. Please do, in our bulletin, take them home with you. I see them laying around here, and they're for. You say, well, I don't know what to pray about. That's what they're for. We got a whole bunch of stuff to pray for in there. That's what it's all about. That's like I say, we don't design them of how the service is going, because we don't normally know how the service is going to go. So, amen. But anyway, Book of James, and it is a blessed book. It really is, we just thank the Lord for it. But we're going to start at about verse 16. We're going to take 16, 17, 18, and as we was finishing up the last couple of services, we've noticed how that everything came down. It was talking about money, and it was talking about where to have patience, and I know none of us need that, but anyway, and then the thing finalizes in prayer. So that's what we're going to look at today. And if you missed Sunday school, you missed a good message out of the book of Daniel on prayer and counsel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless. All right. Father, again, we do thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy and grace. We just appreciate what You've done for us, what You're doing for us, and what You're going to do, Lord. We just thank You for that. We thank You we're saved. We thank You for we have a place to come to gather together. We thank You that, Lord, that Your Spirit shows up many times when we're never worthy of it. But sometimes, Lord, You show up and You get in things, and it's such a blessing. And we appreciate You doing that and helping us. And Lord, because we desire to worship You, we want You to accept that worship, and we know that that can be done by Your Spirit and by Your truth. So help us today. Lord, we do pray for Brother Bill at the Veterans Home, that You bless there. Think of the firefighters out, Lord, that's battling these fires all over the state and all over the western part of the country. And Lord, the smoke's bad, but we just pray for Your protective hand on this. And Lord, that we just pray about this situation. We'd like to see it rain. And so, Lord, we'll just take Your wisdom and be pleased with it. But we do pray for the protection of these people that's out fighting this fire and trying to evacuate people and keep them safe, Lord. And we'll just thank You for it. In Thy name we pray. Amen. So, verse 16... it says, confessing your faults one to another. And what that does, it doesn't say confessing your sins one to another. We know better than that. But confessing your faults one to another. And we've all got faults in our life. And you know what that shows? It shows the trust and the love and the unity of a church when a church can do that. When they can get together and somebody's been offended and something and go to them and you can trust them enough to say, you know what, I blew this thing and I'm sorry and rightly apologize, and the other one say, you know what, I accept your apology this is just I do these things and I don't like them it's a fault of mine. And they understand that, and will not use that thing against you, because that's what a lot of Christians do. If somebody does feel that they want to, then that's not. There's supposed to be unity in the church, and Psalms 133, a little simple verse says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, I'm just telling you, in a lot of Baptist churches and a lot of other churches around the country, you don't have that today. And so notice it says in verse 16, confessing your faults one to another and praying one for another that you may be healed. So praying one for another, it's not that we talk about everybody. We talk about each other and things that go wrong, and it says pray for one another instead of gossiping about them and tell them about everything they've done bad. And we need to get over that thing. You know, it's not about us. And we need to get over that thing and keep our mouth shut and pray for them instead of flapping our mouth about them. And because when you start talking about somebody, you're not going to pray for them. Do you ever notice that? When you're bad-mouthing somebody, then you think you're going to go pray for them. No, that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So pray for them. That's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It says that we sin against you in ceasing to pray for you. And so we need to understand we need to pray for. Because let me tell you what. It's just by the grace of God that we're not where somebody else is that we're bad-mouthing. It's only by the grace of God. And all it takes is one moment and you're there or maybe worse. So we need to learn to stop criticizing and blaspheming and pray for them. And we need to understand that. And so this, like I say, this book of James is not an easy book. It just deals with you right where you live. And that's what's going on. And you know, it doesn't matter. If you want to see the spirit of a church, you don't look at the singing. And you don't look at the shouting, and you don't look at the preaching. You know what you look at? You look at the unity of the church. That's what you look at to see. And you look and see if there's little clicks over here, or little clicks over here. Because you know what this little click over here has done? It's gospel about this little click over here. That's what's going on. And so you can judge, and if you don't meet this one's little clicks the standard, then you're out of it. And all of a sudden you got disunity, and that's the devil doing that all. All right. So if you go into church and the church is great singing and everything and great, look around at what's going on. Okay, that's what you want to do. Because if I guarantee you, if there's these little clicks and you're not having to praying for each other, and the Bible tells us, we know that we're to pray for each other. And he said that you may be healed there in verse 16. This says confessing your faults one to another and praying one for another. Something about this thing, there's a spiritual healing that takes place in the soul when two people get things right. There just is. God designed it that way. There's a strengthening. There's a healing when two people that are at odds in the body of Christ get it straight. There's a healing thing for the whole church. We may not feel it, but when there's disunity, you know what happens? Between two people, it affects the whole church. So when there's a healing between two people, it affects the whole church. It's an organism, okay? It's not an organization. It's supposed to be a living organism that unites and feels and hurts and rejoices all in together. And when you're doing these things against each other, you can't pray for each other because the praying is where the healing comes in, right? That's the thing we got to get. So now look at verse way up in verse 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Look at verse 15, and the prayers. Notice that verse 16 and 17. Confessing your faults one to another and pray. Look at verse 17. It says in the middle of the verse, and he prayed earnestly. Look at verse 18, and he prayed again. And you know, the simple, so we've seen seven times right here in these little chapters that about praying. It showed up. That's what this thing's about. You're not going to accomplish all this other stuff that it talked about, patience and how to handle your money and everything else, without prayer. Now, I'll tell you what. We underestimate the power of prayer. You hear a million messages on prayer. But let me tell you what. You never... I was Wednesday night, I had... and God just blessed so much. And it was a meeting that I had with Brother Stan Martin and Pastor Stan Martin down there. And he needed it and I needed it. But between the two of us, we were sitting there at the table crying and carrying on. And it was just a good meeting, man. And God just changed him. And we got to talking about the prayer of the saints. Never underestimate the prayer of the saints. I'll tell you what, the prayer of the saints will move mountains. It moves God. And when you move God, you move mountains. And he says it was absolutely the prayer. I said, brother, I said, I've been through that. And he said, I know you have. And I said, there was times, he says, I got to confess to you. I said, what's the matter? He says, there was times when I couldn't pray. Did God speak to you? He said, yeah. He told me it was all right. I said, yeah. When my wife passed away, 6 weeks I couldn't pray. And God says, you don't need to. It's all right. They've got it. They've got it. And I just went laying in my bed that night, and same way as Stan, he said, I was in that hospital. He said, I would cough and chunks of meat would come out of my mouth and stuff. And I mean, it was leukemia and for 2 years. And he just knew that the saints were praying for him. So when you think that it's... remember what I said? God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. It's a sin when we don't pray for each other. We need to be praying for each other, man. That's what this list is about. Every family, every week, a family in there to pray for that family. Why? They need it. And you do too. And so prayer, that's what it's talking about, prayer. Folks, never don't think that your prayers are not important, because they are. And sometimes they seem empty and vain. But you know what? Just lifting somebody's a name up to God, that's a big deal. God, you don't have to explain all thoughts. You don't know what they're going through. But God does. And the prayer of the saints is like a sweet incense to God. He goes, I like that. So it's prayer. In verse 16 it says, it availeth much. Availeth means to produce or result in a benefit or a gain. When we do anything, I think we like to see results. We like to see a profit from it. We think the answer of prayer is answered, but we're not sure what profit it was to us. When you do something, most of the time you want results. Or it to profit you something. Well, we need to look at prayer and go at prayer like that. God, I may not see it, but somebody see the profit of this prayer and the prayer of the saints, man. Let it avail much. And so we need to expect that it's going to. You know, think about this. If God heard you pray when you were ungodly and you were not his child, and he heard you at that time to save your soul, now that you belong to him, Don't you think he hear you? Ladies, will you not hear your child when they speak? Dads, will you not? Sure you do. You desire to hear from, and when they speak, your just ears kind of perk up and listen. And you'll turn away from somebody, something else to hear your child talk. And when somebody else starts messing with that communications, you get irritated, don't you? I don't know if God does get irritated. But God loves to hear our prayer. It's a sweet smell to him. You know all this stuff. But he says, you know, Romans 8:32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He wants to do that. He wants to do that. We just don't understand how much he loves us. Oh, we're saved and we're possibly backslidden. Look up here a minute. Do you understand that does not change his love for you? Isn't that great? Now, he may not be able to bless you the way he would like to bless you, but there's nothing you can do or not do that changes his love for you. And we don't get that. We Baptists think that when things are not going right, God's mad at me and he's beating me. God never beat you a day in his life or your life. God will love the fire out of you. And he'll let your own dumbness mess with you. And the dumbs that get on us sometime, he'll let you reap what you sow, but it never changes that love. And that thing's not preached today. Oh, forgive me. It is in the Pentecostal churches. But they're like the Baptists. They got everything messed up. Christ, who is my life. That means 24/7. I'm not talking about eternal security. We know that. I'm talking about our communication, how much he loves me. And with him, prayer availeth much. So there in verse 16, it says, the effectual fervent prayer. That means having an adequate power or force to produce the effect. A prayer that works. Look over at Ephesians chapter 3. You know, it's not an educated prayer. In other words, you've studied all the prayers and you've got it down pat. It's not a loud, boisterous prayer that a Southern Baptist will put out sometime. Okay. It's not a running around shouting prayer that God listened to. It's a prayer that in your heart you're pouring it out to God. And you know the trouble that with us people is we've got to be in a place to where we just have to pour our heart out to God. We don't willingly do that, do we? I mean, remember, I preached that we got this facade on us. I don't care who you are. If you're a born-again child of God, there's a facade. We see what you want us to see. We don't see what God sees. And we don't let nobody see that. And if we could keep God from seeing that, we'd keep God from seeing that. But of course, we can't. And so we don't tell God because we think we can guard this facade with our macho stuff. And so we're not able to communicate with God the way that he wants to, of just breaking us down and breaking our hearts. Remember, that's all he told David. That's all I desire is a broken and contrite heart. Why? That I want you to look at your heart. And this is what Brother Stan told me the other day. He said, the simple fact of it is, I got so bad, God made me look at myself the way he saw me. I said, it made you sick, didn't it? He said, oh, brother. Because of this facade. We can't have a communication and a fellowship and a commune with God, and that's why we have trouble having fellowship with each other and a close communion and unity. Because, let me tell you, so many times we're taught that, well, you got to guard that thing. Because they'll use it against you. Yeah, more than likely they will. But you don't find that in the Bible. We're to be one heart, one mind, unity, loving each other, confessing our faults to one another, bearing one another's burdens. You know what that means? I got to know Bobby. I got to know Jason. I got to know Jim. That what may hurt them and everything, I've got to study them and let God reveal to them to where what? That I can know what makes him tick. Now there's things that God don't want you revealed. But that way we can have a relationship and communicate with each other. And that's why husbands and wives can't have communication and get along. They don't have a relationship with their Savior. That's where it all comes from, folks. You got to understand it. That's why we have divorces. That's why we have split churches. Let God bring down that facade that you got, and let some of the people see just how big a slime ball you are. You know how big I am. I mess up all the time. And I try to cover it up. But that's the only way you're going to get to know me, is understand my faults and pray for me. And me, you. Now, he says, look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now, it means that when it's effectual, that there's a working involved. It means God is saying that real prayer that produces is about the hardest thing you can do. Folks, this Christian life is real simple. Christ made it that way. We're to be ourselves. The world teaches you to hide, to cover yourself with a facade and for nobody to see that. The Bible, you don't get that from the Bible. You go look at John chapter 10, John chapter 15, John 10, where it talks about the vine and the fruit, and you know what that is? That's a relationship. You go look at John 14, 15, and 16, where it says, I'm in God and God's in me, and I, you know what that is? That's a relationship. That the Father prays for the Son, and the Son prays for the Father, and this, that's a relationship. That book is made up of relationships, and our lives are relationships. And we don't know how to handle them, do we? Is this too hard on you today? Well, that don't take much, does it, Robert? It is, though. Men, think it's all about them. And the women thinks it's all about them. And you know what you got? It's not effectual. And it's producing something, but it's producing bad stuff. The effectual prayer That means I can confess my faults to you and trust you. And you can trust me. That is the power of a New Testament church. That brings together unity. Anything else is of the devil. If God is unity, Satan is what? Disunity dysfunctional. That's a term you understand. Do you understand how many families are dysfunctional? Do you know how many families in the Bible was dysfunctional? Let me give you one. How about Joseph's family? You talking about a bunch of dysfunctional people? How about David? Oh, dysfunctional. And then we get to Solomon. And you know what this is to teach you how to live through that thing and work through that thing and let God work us through them things. Because we're all dysfunctional. But the effectual fervent prayer availeth much. You know, you don't just say prayers, you pray prayers. It doesn't matter what other people think when they hear you pray. It's not of them. It's about between you and God. You're talking to your Savior. Amen? Psalm 65 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Think about that. You're talking to your Father like he's your Father, not your next door neighbor or somebody you work with. So it says a fervent prayer. It means we are to, if you look at that thing over in Revelation, it deals with being hot and warm pouring out your heart to him. Now, isn't it strange that we can go and pay $250, I don't know what they get, to a therapist or something, and you can pour out your heart to them? When you got a Savior that never charged you a plug nickel, that can help you. But you're going to have to let him break you down to where you can pour out your heart to him. And when we can do that, then we can pour our heart out to each other and trust. Well, over in Revelation, it talked about, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou were cold or hot. So God wants our prayers to be fervent to him. God wants our prayers to be sincere to him. Look at Colossians. You're in Ephesians there. Go to your right just a couple of books. Philippians, go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. It says, Now Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now notice this guy here. He says, he says back in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you. So now think of it. He was just one of the guys in church. He wasn't the pastor. He was just one of the guys in church. But look, he was always laboring fervently in prayer. For what? He was just a guy in the church. Well, the preacher will pray for him. No, this was just one of the guys in church. Let me tell you, I believe this church prays. I know it does. And I know you pray for me, and I really appreciate it. I mean it. I appreciate it. I wouldn't get very far through the day if it wasn't for you guys' prayer. Jenny will text me and just a little thing, and boy, I'll tell you what, I know she's thinking of me. I know she's bringing my name up for the Lord. It's good, man. Now, look what this guy was praying for in verse 13. For I bear him record that he had a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. And so he prayed for them Prayer is making a request, making supplication to God for others. Philippians 1:4 says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Just talking to God about each other. The effectual, fervent prayer. Prayers does not mean working yourself up into a frenzy like some nut, but it's pouring out your heart. Letting God see your heart. He already knows what's there. There's something about it when we reveal it to Him of our own will. That's what He gets at. And so there in the verse, go back to James, and he says, of a righteous man it availeth much. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In the Old Testament, the priest had the blood applied on the right ear, okay, and on the right toe, and then they had the anointing oil applied over the blood. Because see, we was talking earlier in James about this oil. You never put the oil on right on the skin. They applied the blood, and then they applied the oil. Now, what do you think that connects with today? It connects with our salvation. The blood of Christ, when we receive Christ's salvation, then the Holy Spirit is given. Because the blood, the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the blood to wash us, and then the anointing of the fresh oil from Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter. Got James, just go the next book. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Well, now that's tough. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, we know we're not righteous. So that is why we come to Him in His name. In the name of Jesus Christ. And in His righteousness. And that's why we do that. So again, back in James, it availeth much. It's worth much. It profits much. It accomplishes much. And they benefit much. Jacob said, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Over in Luke 22, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Look at Galatians. Just look at some scriptures here. Galatians, if you would. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision... Let's see, where am I at? Is that right? Galatians 6, 15. Okay. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Let's see. I think I messed that up. Anyway, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Next book over. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do... Now notice what we're talking about, that they're profitable, they're worth something, they're always worth something. Now unto him that is able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now look at that. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Folks, it's worth something. Listen, Isaiah 65 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Now think about that. He's talking about the prayer of his saints. He knows your prayers. He loves to hear you pray. And sometimes, and he shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now think about this. God, you say, yeah, but I'm praying about something in the future. God is living in your future. And he lives in your past. So back to James there in verse 17. Now it talks about a man in James chapter. It talks about Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. So it said that he prayed. Elijah was a normal guy, just like the Apostle Paul was. And just they were normal guys, and they're just like us. We know that Elijah was a normal man because after he prayed a 63-word prayer, and God and fire came down from God and devoured the altar and the sacrifice and everything there. And then he turned around and chopped off the head of 450 Baal prophets. A woman got after him, and he took off running to the mountains. Now, man, you know he... Well, I'd have ran too probably with that woman. But so some women you don't want to mess with. He's just like passion as we are. And we need to understand that thing. And he prayed earnestly. That means he prayed fervently, like it said back in 16. The problem with us sometimes is... We have it so good sometime, a lot of times, that we don't need, we pray, but we don't have an earnest, fervent, we don't get lathered up about it. Why? Because, you know, no need to get worked up about this situation. Well, sometimes you do in your prayer. That's what God's talking about. So, and then verse 18, it says, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Well, how did he do this? Back in verse 15, it was a prayer of faith. Let's spend a few minutes looking at this. Go to 1 Kings. This is where Elijah done this. Go to 1 Kings, and you get over there, that's just after 2 Samuel. Go to 1 Kings 17, of course, just before 2 Kings. But, Justin, could I have some water? Thank you. My sinuses, I don't know why they're bothering me, but anyway, so let's look at this thing here. No reason in the world. But talking about Elijah, just a man like us that God used to change the world. And it was through a prayer. Now, look at 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself in the brook of Cherith, that it be before Jordan. Now notice that thing. Now look at that. Look at 1 Kings 18, and look at verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Now this is after that drought going on. He prayed and it quit raining and there was a drought. And now he's in third year in that thing. And the word of the Lord to Elijah in the third year saying, go show thyself to Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. Now think about that. You know, we got a verse over in Romans 10 that says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Over in James, it was a prayer of faith. Elijah knows the mind of God that it is to rain. So, man, he can pray. He can pray his heart out. He knows what God said. He trusts in God. He said it's not going to rain for 3.5 years or 3 years. He knows what God says, so he can trust him. And he knows it's going to rain. So he can pray. He believes it's going to rain. How many times when you're praying in the will of God that you really believe that God's going to do it? Now, I'm not talking about some silly prayer that you pulled off the wall that God helped me to win the lottery this month. Now, I'm talking about a prayer that you're concerned about, and you just believe if I go to God that He's going to answer this thing in His time, not according to mine. Well, that's the whole thing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And again, that was a prayer of faith. Elijah knows the mind of God, that it is to rain, so he can pray that away because he knows it's going to rain. He prays a prayer of faith. Let me ask you this. Do you believe it's God's will that you help people? That you'd be a witness for Him? Then why don't we pray that away and understand this is God's will? You could use a multitude of things that you know that God's will is about. And so when we pray about this thing, we can pray effectual and fervent about it because we know it's God's will. And so you pray about it. Now, there's times you gotta pray about to see if it is God's will, right? But once you get that answer, then lay into it, folks. Get after it. And that's what God likes to see. Now, if you look at that thing in chapter 18, look at verse 41. Talking about Elijah here. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now think about this. If I said to you there's a sound of much rain, what would you do? You'd look for a cloud, or you'd look for thunder. Now notice what's going on here. But you'll see that it wasn't when Elijah went up on that mountaintop, it was a bright sunny day. There was not a cloud in the sky. He's praying this thing by faith because he believes God. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of a bunch of rain. Where'd he hear it? God was, boy, in I believe in Elijah's ears, it was a thundering and lightning. That's how sure it was. Verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount of Carmel, and he cast him down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said unto his servant, go up now toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. See, it was a bright sunny day. In Elijah's ears, it was thundering and lightning and just getting ready to be a frog strangler. It was going to be a downpour. So he sends his servant and he says, what do you mean, man? It's clear. Go back seven times. And the last time, he says, oh, there's a cloud in the sky about the size of your hand. And the next time, it's a deluge, man. It's a downpour. So that's the thing. And verse 45, and it came to pass the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, you got to imagine this. This poor old preacher's up there. It's bright sunny day. In his mind, it's just a thunder and lightning and just a terrific storm. It's clear. All of a sudden, it starts this downpour, and Ahab sees it and he starts trying to get back to his castle. And Elijah reached down and grabs his girdle, pulls it up, and he outruns him, a chariot of horses. The whole thing was of faith. Now, I don't think, when I think Elijah, when he got there, he thought, I didn't see that Lord coming, outrun. But anyway, it's a prayer of faith. Folks, when you're praying about something, how many times have I mentioned this? When you're praying, I don't care what it is. God will answer you. And when he answers you about whatever it is, you better write it down of the answer, because that's what you'll have to lean on sometime. When everything falls, when the rain comes and the deluge of the rain and the storm and the wind and everything comes, all you're going to have is, God answered me here. Then just start praying that effectual, fervent prayer, because you know it's right. There's no question about it. The storms are unbelievable, but I know what God told me. And you can pray that thing with effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, because you know what God's answer was. And we don't remember that. And you know what happens to us most of the time? Boy, I really thought it was God's will that I do this. And it breaks your heart. And you start blaming God somewhere down in your heart. I'm telling you, you better write that thing down. God, answer me. Whatever the answer is, this date right here. And you can go back and say, hot dog, looky there. And start praying like you mean it, because you got the answer. It's not a guesswork. It's not maybe. God gave it to you. Get after it. That's the way you weather the storm. You outrun the enemy. The whole thing's a blessing. Now, go back to James and we'll close. Prayer. Well, all I can do is pray for you, brother. Yeah, right. Get your prayer and get after it. But sometimes you're going to have to wait on God to get your answer. And that's where, remember what it said back up in verse 7? Be patient, therefore. Yeah. We don't have a piano player, so we're just going to have an invitation this way. It's a quote. It's only when we go into the tabernacle to speak with God that we find a mercy seat. When we go to speak with man, we find only a judgment seat. Right? You go to the mercy seat and you find mercy in time to help. You go to man before you go to the mercy seat, you'll find judgment. If you go to man after the mercy seat, you can apply mercy. You can apply grace. Right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. Now, if you need to come and pray, you come and pray. You can pray right where you're at. Help us to understand where mercy and grace comes from. Help us for you to apply this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I pray that this you reveal to hearts today of really how simple this thing is. Lord, that we can pray. We wait for your answer. We pray. We wait for an answer. And then we pray fervently. Help us, Lord. We all fall short of this thing. We all get caught up in life's little tricks and trades and confusion and strife. Lord, help us just to reveal ourselves to you. You already see it. You already know it's there. Be honest with you, that we can be honest with others. That way we can trust each other to confess our faults to each other. And then maybe our prayers will be effectual, which means they profit it much. Lord, bless you people today. Again, I pray for the ones out fighting fires, and Brother Matthew that's down in Texas working, watch over them. Lord, just be with your people. Encourage them. Help us to love each other. That's what this book is all about. Caring for each other. Praying for each other. Christ says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. In thy name we pray. Amen.